God will never tell you to violate a principle that's in this, because God is consistent. And so he'll never tell you to deny what he's already said. He'll never tell you to contradict what he's already said. The Bible says this, Luke 21, Jesus said, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words," read it with me, "will never pass away." Read the next verse with me, Proverbs 12, 19. Truth stands the test of time.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today we continue in our series called, Can You Hear Me Now? In these lessons, we'll learn how to truly discern the Lord's voice in the midst of a world full of distractions. Now, in just a few minutes, we're going to tell you how you can get a copy of Pastor Rick's inspiring and beautifully illustrated book called The Purpose of Christmas. You can find out more right now by going to PastorRick.com while you listen to today's message. Or if you want, you can just text the word DAILY to 99000. That's the word DAILY to 99000. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part one of a message called How to Recognize God's Voice.
You know, all around you, there are sound waves going through this building right now. You can't see them, you can't hear them unless you're tuned in. There are FM radio waves going through the air. There are AM radio waves going through the air. Television waves going through the air. You'll hear a cell phone wave sometime during this service. Internet waves and lots of others. But unless you tune in, you'll never hear it. The same is true with God. God is trying to speak to you. He's constantly transmitting to us. But unless you're tuned in, you're not going to hear him. And if you happen to tune in to the wrong channel, you may think it's God, but it's not. So how do you know when an idea is from God? How do you know when an idea is from Satan? And how do you know when an idea is from yourself? You see, a lot of times you're just talking to yourself. You talk to yourself all the time because you want somebody intelligent to talk to. But if you confuse your desires with what God wants you to do, the results can be fatal. Look at the first verse at the top of your outline. It says, what you think is the right road may lead to death. So it's very important when you know that God's talking to you, and it's very important to know when it's just you talking to yourself. On the other hand, it's also important to know when Satan's talking to you. He talks to you all the time. We call it temptation. He puts ideas in your mind to do wrong. And a lot of things today, God gets blamed for all kinds of evil that isn't God's fault at all. When people say, God told me to do this. And they didn't really hear from God. It was their own desires or their own imaginations, or it was, you know, the devil or whatever. Yesterday I heard about a woman in Texas who stoned two of her little children, killed them, threw rocks at them and killed them. And in court, she said yesterday in court, God told me to do it. Obviously, the woman is insane. God did not tell her to do that. So it's very important. How do you know when it's God talking to you? The fact is, one moment it could be the devil talking to you. One minute it could be God talking to you. One minute it could be you just talking to yourself. The Bible says this in 1 John 4:1. Don't believe everything you hear just because somebody says it's a message from God. Test it first to see if it really is. Notice it says test it first. Circle that. If you want a good example of how quickly we can flip-flop, Matthew 16 is the story of Jesus talking to Peter. And Jesus says to Peter, Peter, who do you say that I am? And Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says to Peter, you're right, Peter, and that idea didn't come from human wisdom. God gave you that idea. Not a few seconds later, Jesus says to Peter, you know, I'm going to have to go to Jerusalem and I'm going to have to die on the cross for the sins of people. And Peter goes, oh, wait a minute, Lord, you don't want to do that. That's nonsense. And Jesus looks at him and says, that idea is from the devil. Get behind me, Satan. Same guy, two different impressions within just a matter of seconds. It can happen to you. It can happen to me. One minute you're listening to God. One minute you're listening to yourself. One minute you're listening to the devil. So how do you know if it's God talking to you? Well, Jesus said in John 7:17, Anyone who wants to do God's will can test this teaching, there's that word again, can test this teaching and know whether it is from God or whether I'm making it up. Tonight, we're going to look at seven ways to test an impression. Seven ways to know if an idea that you got in your mind is from God or not. Now, all seven of these tests form a very strong filter. And you can't pick and choose and say, well, I'm just going to take 1, 3, and 5 and forget the others. No. If it doesn't line up against all seven, it's not God talking to you. It's not. On the other hand, if you get an idea and it passes all seven of these tests, you can know for absolute certainty, with total confidence, that you have heard from God. So how do you know when it's God talking to you? Seven ways. Number one, does it agree with the Bible? Does it agree with the Bible? That's the first way you can test an idea or an impression and say, does it agree with the Bible? Because God will never contradict what he's already said in his word. The Bible is God's word given to us over thousands of years, and God will never tell you to violate a principle that's in this. Because God is consistent. And so he'll never tell you to ignore what he's already said. He'll never tell you to deny what he's already said. He'll never tell you to contradict what he's already said. The Bible says this, Luke 21, Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words, read it with me, will never pass away. Read the next verse with me, Proverbs 12:19. Truth stands the test of time.
That's Pastor Rick Warren with just a portion of today's study called How to Recognize God's Voice from our series called Can You Hear Me Now? The second half of today's study is coming up next.
Christmas is right around the corner. Where has the year gone? You know, a lot of us stress out around this time of year, losing sight of the real meaning of the season. That's why we'd like you to know about Pastor Rick's book called The Purpose of Christmas. In it, Rick shows you how Christmas is designed to meet your three deepest needs and how receiving God's three Christmas gifts to you this year will transform your life forever. This book is one to be read every Christmas and to be shared with your friends who may not know the true meaning of Christmas. Let us send you a hardcover copy of this inspiring and beautifully illustrated book, The Purpose of Christmas by Rick Warren. As our way of saying thanks for your financial support of Daily Hope, we're sure that God will use it to stir up hope, peace, and gratitude in your heart this Christmas season. Go to PastorRick.com right now to get your copy of this great resource. That's PastorRick.com. Or you can call 800-600-5004. That's 800-600-5004. Thanks in advance for your support.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Once again, here's Rick.
The Bible says this, Proverbs 12:19, truth stands the test of time. What does that mean? It means if it's true, it's always been true, it always will be true, because truth is not new. If it's new, it's not true, because the truth's been around forever. If it was true 2,000 years ago, it was true 4,000 years ago, it was true 1,000 years ago, it was true 50 years ago, it's true today, and if it's true, it'll be true 5,000 years from today, because truth stands the test of time. Now, fads change, therapies change, trends change, popular opinion changes, even science changes. I mean, a science book written 20 years ago is already out of date. But the truth of God never changes. So God would never say something and then change his mind later and say, oh, well, I've changed my mind. We don't believe that anymore. So if God says in the Bible, which he does, pay your taxes, for instance, then in a couple days when you come up to April 15th and you get an impression, well, you know, I could just shave off a little bit here and save some money. Well, that idea didn't come from God, because God would not contradict what he's already said. If the Bible says, and it does, you should be honest and fair in your business dealings, then if you figure out a way to make a little bit more money by cutting a corner ethically, that idea didn't come from God, because God's truth never changes. He meant it then, he means it now. If God says, and he has said in his word, you should only have sex with somebody you are committed to in marriage, then he's not going to go tell you, go have sex with anybody you want to have sex with, because he has not changed his mind. The truth is there, and it's there for you to live out. In fact, Paul, who wrote much of the New Testament, said, hey, even if I contradict the Bible, don't listen to me. In fact, the Bible says, even if an angel appeared to you and said, hey, we got new revelation. This Bible, it's a little out of date. You need some new stuff. Here's the up-to-date stuff. It's not just the Bible. It's the Bible plus this new book, or that new book, or this new book, or on and on. God says, you ignore that. The Bible says this in Galatians 1:8. It's misspelled there on your outline. Let God's curse fall on anyone, including myself, this is Paul talking, who preaches any other message, in other words, than the Bible. Even if an angel comes from heaven and preaches any other message, let him be forever cursed. Did you know that many, if not most, of the cults that exist today started because they claim an angel came and said, oh, the Bible's not enough, you need another book too, or this book or that book or this book. And God says, even if an angel comes to you and says, this is not enough, they're wrong. The Bible is true. And so I first stop and I say, this impression I'm getting, does it match up with the Bible? The vast majority of God's will for your life is right here in this book. All you got to do is read it. And there are certain verses in here you probably ought to memorize that relate to your particular life. Why? Because then when you get an idea, you can go, well, that couldn't be from God because the Bible says this. You get another impression, well, that couldn't be from God either because the Bible says this. Now, if you don't know the Bible, you're going to be duped by all kinds of Satan's lies. And so the better you know God's word, the more God will be able to talk to you. And we always get into trouble when we doubt God's word. Tom's going to talk about the next one.
There's a second question that you and I should ask ourselves when we want to recognize God's voice and figure out whether it's an impression from him or not, and that is, does it make me more like Christ? Does this impression, if I follow through on it, will it make me more like Christ? Because Jesus is the standard by which you measure all the ideas, all the impressions that come into your mind. God, listen, God's goal is to make us like Jesus Christ. That's the number one goal that he has in our lives. Look at the next verse in your outline. Over in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, the Bible says, in your lives, you must think and act like Christ Jesus. Now, if that is God's goal for our lives, and it is, he obviously would not put an impression in our lives that would lead us in a direction opposite from the major goal he has in our lives, which is to make us in character and action like Jesus Christ. The next verse in your outline from the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5 says, we take every thought captive so that it is obedient to Christ. So the impressions we get should help us to become obedient to Christ. To answer that question that you've heard a lot of times, what would Jesus do? To act like Jesus would act in certain circumstances in life. Now, if you want a checklist for this, James chapter 3, verses 14 and 17 in your notes is a great checklist. It's good to have with you anytime you're making a decision. It tells you how to know something is not an impression from God and how to see something is an impression from God when it comes to the character qualities that Jesus Christ has. The verse starts out by saying, if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition, such wisdom is of the devil. Obviously not from God. So how do you know it's not an impression from God? Well, if it's from bitter envy, it's not. If the impression is all about wanting to retaliate against somebody, get even with somebody, if it's something that grows out of jealousy that makes you want to buy something or do something, then that is not an impression from God. We have those kinds of ideas all the time. Any of you have those kind of feelings this week? Retaliate, get even, envy? Nobody honest in this room. They were honest in the other services. We all have those feelings all the time. And they're strong impressions, but they're not from God. Also, selfish ambition. We've got selfish ambition impressions all the time. But God's not going to give you those. God's not going to give you an impression to make you more selfish. He's going to give you an impression to make you more serving. Listen, God's not going to give you any self-serving ideas. We get enough of those on our own. The ideas that are going to come from him are going to be to serve others and to make a difference in other people's lives. So if you get an impression this week that says, I'm going to be famous, I'm going to be wealthy, I'm going to make other people envious of who I am, that is not an impression from God. There's also a list here of how to know it is an impression from God. The wisdom that comes from God is, and would you read these with me? It is pure, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy, impartial, and sincere. So you just sort of do a checklist. Okay, I've got this impression. Is it pure? If it's impure, it's obviously not from God. Now, this may sound pretty simple, but you wouldn't believe how many people I meet that are trying to convince themselves that an impure impression is somehow from God, that it's okay with God for them to do that. If it's impure, it's not from God. Pretty simple. You keep on going down through the list. Is it peace-loving? God's going to give impressions that promote harmony and not conflict. That's what He does. Is it considerate? When God gives you an impression, He is concerned about the impact that that impression is going to have on somebody else. Is it going to hurt somebody else's life? He's not going to give you impressions to mess up other people's lives. Is this impression submissive? Is it an impression? That's not a word we use very much, and it simply means, is it humble? Is it teachable in its character? It's not arrogant. If you've really heard from God, you're not going to be afraid to test that idea by sharing it with others and getting their input on it, because it's God's idea anyway, not your idea. On the other hand, if you ever meet somebody who is prideful and arrogant and won't listen to anybody else, you can know right away it's all about their ideas. It's not about God's ideas. True in our own lives, if that happens to us too. Is it full of mercy? That's how you know if it's an impression from God. I've met a lot of people who think they have been impressed by God, and yet they're the most judgmental, condemning, negative. I've even met some preachers this way, negative people. You know what I'm talking about. Those people haven't heard from God. They've heard from their own prejudices, their own anger. Because if you really hear from God, it makes you full of mercy. And it's also impartial and it's sincere. You don't try to manipulate others and control others. These seven things, these are all character qualities of Jesus Christ. Because when I get an impression from God, it's going to make me more like Jesus.
Here's the third way to test an impression. Does my church family confirm it? First, you ask, does this idea agree with the Bible? Second, does it make me more like Christ? Then third, does my church family confirm this idea? You see, you need the wisdom and advice and counsel of other godly people in your life to help you stay on track. God never meant for you to go through life as a lone ranger on your own. That's why He created the church family, because we need each other. Nobody has all the answers. Nobody has it all together. Nobody knows the right decision every time. Nobody. Not me, not you, not anybody else. That's why we need a church family, and we need spiritually mature friends to bounce ideas off of and get feedback from. Ephesians 3:10 says this, God's intent is that through the church, circle that, through the church, God's intent is that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known. God shares His wisdom with His body, with His family, with His flock, with us all in general. What am I saying? Well, let me say it in two or three ways. If God has genuinely spoken to you and you got an idea and an impression from God, if it's really from God, then other mature believers will confirm it. And they'll say, you're right. That you did hear from God. If they do not confirm it, you have every reason to doubt whether it's really from God or not. If you ask other people, other Christians who are mature, who have been Christians longer than you, believers longer than you, walking with God for a longer period of time, what do you think about this idea? You should listen to their advice. You see, now if you feel resistant to even sharing it, you say, you know, I got this idea, and I don't even feel like I want to share it with more mature Christians. Where do you think that resistance is coming from? It's coming from the devil. The very fact that you get an idea and you feel resistant to share it with other people and let them test it and evaluate it, it means it's not from God. Because God would not have that problem with you sharing. He wants us to learn from each other, to share with each other, to get the wise counsel of each other. And we all need each other's counsel. Now, if you get an idea that no mature Christian confirms, you're wrong. I'll just tell you, you're wrong. Because God speaks to His body, not just to us as individuals. If you're reading the Bible and you're reading a verse, one day you see something in a verse that nobody has ever seen before, and you get an interpretation that nobody's ever had before, I'll tell you what, you're wrong. Because millions and millions of Christians have been reading this book for thousands of years, and if it's new, It's not true. I have never seen anything new in this book, because it's been seen before by millions of other people who are godly, mature, spiritually strong believers. And so if a mature believer questions an idea you think is from God, you ought to question it too. I'm not saying drop it. I'm just saying you ought to check it out. The Bible says in Proverbs 11, verse 9, the wisdom of the righteous can save you. Now, it doesn't say the wisdom of your best friends, your good old boy buddies, because they're going to kiss up to you and just tell you what you want to hear anyway. They're not going to tell you the truth. But the wisdom of the righteous, in other words, people who've been walking with God longer than you, and there aren't perfect, there are no perfect people in the world. So we're just talking about people at least are making the effort to grow. They're trying to grow. At least they're sincere. The wisdom of the righteous, getting advice from them, can save you. Save you what? Save you time, save you money, save you energy, save you from mistake, save you from failure, save you from major embarrassment. They can save you. I couldn't count the number of times I've been saved from a wrong decision because other godly people in my life said, have you thought about this? Have you considered this, Rick? You see, that's why you need other believers. That's why you need to be in a small group. Now, I've been a pastor for many, many years, and I've talked to tens of thousands of people, and I have concluded that the two biggest reasons people mess up in life are these. Here's why people mess up. They just get off course. Number one, they have no spiritually mature friends. Or number two, they don't listen to them if they do have them. That's how people mess up their lives. They either A, don't have any spiritually mature friends, all their friends are non-believers or weak Christians, or if they do have some good mature Christian friends, they don't ever ask them.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Now, if you've missed any part of this broadcast, including portions we didn't have time for today, simply go to PastorRick.com to listen again and to find out more about this ministry or to sign up for Rick's free daily email devotional. Rick's going to be back in just a moment with a final word of encouragement, so please stay with us. Wow, Christmas is right around the corner. Where has this year gone? You know, a lot of us stress out around this time of year, losing sight of the real meaning of the season. And that's why we'd like you to know about Pastor Rick's book called The Purpose of Christmas. In it, Rick shows you how Christmas is designed to meet your three deepest needs and how receiving God's three Christmas gifts to you this year will transform your life forever. This book is one to be read every Christmas and to be shared with your friends who may not know the true meaning of Christmas. Here's Pastor Rick to tell us more.
You know, this month on Daily Hope, we're offering to send you a special copy of my book called The Purpose of Christmas. I wrote this book to help you come to a deeper understanding of God's love for you by explaining the three purposes of Christmas that were announced by the angel at the birth of Jesus. The angel announced a time of celebration. I bring you good news of great joy. Salvation, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord, and reconciliation, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. I'll send you the hardback edition of this book, The Purpose of Christmas, with the color illustrations as our special thank you for your gift of support to Daily Hope Ministries. Daily Hope is a 100% listener-supported ministry, so if you can help us continue to spread the good news through this broadcast, I'd appreciate any gift that you can send this Christmas. Thanks for listening today, and join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope.
Let us send you a hardcover copy of the inspiring and beautifully illustrated book, The Purpose of Christmas, by Rick Warren. It's our way of saying thanks for your financial support of Daily Hope, and we're sure that God will use it to stir up hope, peace, and gratitude in your heart this Christmas season. Go to PastorRick.com right now to get your copy of this great resource. That's PastorRick.com, or you can call 800-600-5004. That's 800-600-5004. And thanks in advance for your support. This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.